It's time for the Daily Power Play.
And the score! A power play goal for the Predators.
Covering the Predators and the NHL.
With a shot that stopped by Searles.
Now on Chase and Michelle.
Back here, Chase and Michelle, it is power play time, but hey, Preds fans, if you want to win tickets in our lower bowl, section 102, just text the keyword Superbook, all one word, to the game text line at 615-737-1025, and you will be entered to win. Win with 1025-1063 the game, and you can win with Superbook. Chase and Michelle, Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezvik with you. We say hello to Greg Wyshynski of ESPN, covers the NHL for them. He joins us every Thursday at this time. Greg, how are you, my friend?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Just ready for this final drive to the postseason, and let's see what these Nashville Predators can do. They did not have a good outing Tuesday night when they returned from spring break or the all-star break, whatever you want to call it, that the NHL has put in there. And, you know, John Hines and David Poile have preached consistency and trying to find that consistency with this team. They had the meeting before the all-star break. They won three in a row. They looked good. The guys that needed to play well were playing well. They didn't get that Tuesday night. So how do you get the consistency out of the Nashville Predators, Greg? We're all dying to know.
Well, the all-star break broke their momentum. Now they get like one game from like January 26th to like February 11th. How are you supposed to keep the momentum going if you're not playing, right? Right. I'm half joking. I mean, I do think that the all-star break does come at an opportune time for some teams and maybe at an inopportune time for others. And, you know, like you said, the meeting happens, they get rolling a little bit, and all of a sudden they're sitting on their hands for a few days, and it kind of like saps a little bit of what was going right. And, you know, that Vegas game was a real frustrating one. I think that everyone internally and externally probably had that game circled in the calendar of, okay, let's see if we can keep this thing going. Vegas obviously is a team that has been reeling a little bit. Mark Stone out of the lineup, you know, they were a team that you in theory should take care of, but it didn't work out that way, obviously. And so the question marks return after what was a pretty promising end to the quote unquote first half of the season. It's not really the first half, but you know, that's how we kind of phrase it when it comes to the All-Star break.
Yeah. Willie Donick, play by play for the Predators, says it's the second semester that we've gone into. I think I like that. We know that there are guys on this team. Matt Duchene is certainly one of them. That Roman Josi, they have to play at their best because those are the guys that you have targeted to be your top guys. But Philip Forsberg is certainly one of them. He's got 19 goals on the season to this point. To me, that number should be higher. Where do you think, if things were going just 100% right for Forsberg, where do you think his goal total should be at this point?
Oh, I have no idea. Like, I guess commiserate with where it should be last year, but I mean, like, you know, I think you see his goal total through the lens of his contract, you see his goal total through the lens of where the league is offensively, where obviously we've seen year-over-year goal production increases in this league. So I couldn't tell you where his goal total should be. I could tell you that it probably, in totality, should be higher than what it is. But, I mean, that's the story of the team a lot this year. I mean, we've talked about this a few times where, you know, it seems like this team might be turning the corner offensively, then all of a sudden they hit the skids. And it reverts back to being a team that struggles. And, you know, there are obviously, you know, players in this lineup that haven't performed up to expectations as well. So he's just, you know, part of a larger problem, I think, on this team this year.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. All right, if I am Dallas and Winnipeg in the Central Division right now, you know, I'm feeling pretty good about my season, but I'm starting to kind of turn my head and look over my shoulder a little bit. Because there's a team out west in Colorado that is starting to heat up. They're getting healthier. You and I have talked about this before, that once you start getting guys back, watch out. They're still going to be the team to beat. I might even go as far as with them being, I think, 12 points back of Dallas, that they could make a run even for the Central if they continue to stay healthy. But do you agree with me that Colorado's coming and everybody should watch out?
I think so, but I think that's probably more of a warning for the playoffs, to be honest with you. I think right now, knowing what their injury situation has been for most of the season, where their place is in the standings, and again, chasing two teams in Dallas and Winnipeg that aren't really giving an inch. I mean, it's one thing to say that the Avalanche could reel off a bunch of wins in a row, and I think they have that ability. Obviously, we've seen it before. But Dallas is stout. I mean, you know, that win last night over Minnesota, I think, was a declarative statement that, you know, they had been kind of dancing on the head of a pin for a little bit insofar as going to overtime, I think, in four straight games. That was a real solid win last night for them, and I think was a steadying win for them. They're both good, Winnipeg and Dallas, and I don't think they should be too worried about Colorado overcoming them. But playing them in the playoffs is going to be a different situation. And the thing about Colorado, though, is that it's not the same team as last year. I mean, even if they get everybody back, and, you know, I think I saw Landeskog is finally starting to skate again. I wouldn't be surprised if they did the Kucherov thing with him and just kept him on IR until the playoffs. I mean, why create salary headaches where you don't need them? I mean, they lost some people off of last year's team, in particular Nazem Kadri, their second-line center. So the expectation has always been that they're going to have to improve this lineup to defend that cup and to be the dominant force that they can be again. And I'm intrigued to see how they approach this deadline. I mean, again, it's not the same team. They do have some issues. They're not as dominant as last year. Do the management for the Avalanche look at this season and say, okay, we push all in and try to get ourselves a Jonathan Toews, try to get ourselves a Ryan O'Reilly, which would be a pretty hilarious reunion there with the way things worked out when he was a younger player. You know, or do we kind of like roll with what we have and give some of our younger players experience and understand that this is still a very young team with a young core, and it's not necessarily a year where we have to push in to win now because we've got a few cracks at this.
Greg Wyshynski is with us. So, you know, the Central Division always gets, you know, a lot of praise in the West, and rightfully so. I mean, I get it. It's pretty stacked. But I look at the Pacific and this battle for that division right now, it's very tight. I mean, it could be Vegas, Seattle, Los Angeles, Edmonton. Calgary's not out of it by any means at this point. But if you get I guess it would be the first wild card spot and could get the winner of the Pacific, I mean, do you view that as, especially if it's a Central Division team that gets that spot, that maybe the winner of the Pacific Division could be vulnerable in the opening round of the playoffs?
Completely. I'll give you two reasons. None of them have Jake Oettinger, and none of them have Connor Hellebuck. Right? Like all the teams in the Pacific Division have flawed goaltending in one way or another, which is kind of amazing when you think about the fact that Calgary spent all that money on Jacob Markstrom, and he's been a kind of a trouble spot for them this season. It's been the law of diminishing returns for them. So just by virtue of that, you know, you're going to have a puncher's chance against any of those teams in the first round of the playoffs. But, you know, like you said, it's a really competitive division, not only for who might finish on top, but who might finish on the bottom. I mean, it is kind of amazing to think that the space in between the wild card and the top of that division is so narrow that you could easily go from leading the Pacific to being on the outside looking in the span of like a week and a half.
Real quick before we let you go, a lot of deadline talk is starting. Bo Horvat was the first domino to fall when it comes to big trades. One, what did you make of the trade? And do you think that is setting the tone for what we could see over the course of the next few weeks?
Well, that was a trade made of necessity by the Islanders. They had to do something. They've been searching for a second star to play alongside Matt Barzal. And, you know, the only way you can get one is through free agency trade or to draft one and wait. And in this case, they made a trade and got the free agent, you know, and signed him long term. And the contract, the numbers aren't terrible. It's just the length of it. I mean, you're buying up a lot of years where he might be past his peak. But you got to remember that it's not about the 8 years for this team. It's about 2 years for this team, i.e. the 2 years they've been in a brand new arena that they paid for, and they can't all of a sudden fall off into obscurity because there's a lot of money on the line. You know, they sold a bunch of jerseys the other night with him just being on the team. That's what you need at the Islanders. So they had to be aggressive. It's going to impact a couple things. It's going to impact the amount of money that Dylan Larkin gets from the Detroit Red Wings. They're kind of similar in the sense of what they were looking for. And I think this contract probably gives a little bit more clarity to that. And I think it hopefully will open up the trade works to teams that might've been looking to trade for Horvat, will turn their attention to other centers. And for me, the big name still out there is Timo Meier, the winger from the San Jose Sharks. I think he is, for me, the biggest game changer offensively that could be available. And I think you'll see something in the neighborhood of what Vancouver got for Horvat, but probably maybe even a little bit more, considering, you know, just how good Meier is.
Well, Greg, appreciate it as always. We'll do it again next week. And talk to you then.
You got it. Take care.
That is Greg Wyshynski. ESPN joins us every Thursday at 9:45 as a part of the Power Play. Coming up next, we get back into the Titans. A former general manager gave his view yesterday on the Titans and their quarterback situation. We will discuss that. You'll hear from him next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.